Spanish island of Mallorca inspires many authors, either as a subject for their work or somewhere they put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard. George Sand, Robert Graves, Jeffrey Archer, Peter Kerr, and Anna Nicholas are only some of the best-known authors linked to this largest of the Balearic Islands. A surprising number of authors have made Mallorca their home or favourite writing place, and in each episode of this podcast series, you'll hear my conversation with one of them, giving you an insight into their writerly life. Welcome to Authors in Mallorca, with me, Jan Edwards.
The one that I really get more feedback about is the midlife stress-busting one. It's a really important thing that, you know, that you've written something that is changing lives. I just sent one to Italy, actually, on how to clean your home organically.
The start of a new year can inspire us to make positive changes in our lives. So I thought for this first episode of 2021, I would talk to the author of some self-help books. Yorkshire-born Kay Newton has a bachelor's degree in social science and trained as a coach, an author, public speaker, and host of Midlife Mojo Mallorca Retreats. Kay calls herself a midlife strategist. As Mallorca has introduced new contact restrictions in the fight against the spread of coronavirus, we chatted on Zoom. And I started by asking her how she came to be living on this island.
It's a really good question, isn't it? I love those type of questions. So my easy and simple answer to that is I got on a private yacht in Hull Marina, which went all the way to Mallorca, and then I never swam back. What's that for a quick answer?
It's a very quick answer. What is it that you love about the island?
I think it was just the fact that circumstances led me here. And I was lucky enough to be able to stay. My husband's from South Africa. When we met, we both made the decision that South Africa or Yorkshire was not going to be our home. And so it made an obvious choice to stay here in Mallorca. And so we've been here ever since. And I keep saying it's 35 years, but do you know, I think it's a lot more now.
So you're almost Mallorquin.
Oh, I don't know about almost Mallorquin. I'm still an extranjero. I will always be. But yeah, I lived here longer than in Yorkshire, yeah.
You trained as a coach originally, and now you describe yourself as a midlife strategist. What exactly is one of those?
Coaching, I think, has become a bit per se. There's too many people doing coaching. And the issue you have when I'm dealing with a client is quite often they're wanting not just coaching. Coaching is when you create a space for them to find their own answers. Quite a lot of the clients are coming to me because I've already supposedly got the t-shirts. I've already done the things that they're wanting to do, simplifying their life. And so that's why I call myself a midlife strategist, because I'm creating space for them to find their answers. But I'm also there to guide them based on my experiences also.
Those experiences have made you well qualified to write books. At what point did you decide that you wanted to become an author?
I think writing has always been my medium. I'm not very good with videos. I'm not very good with audio. I love listening to music, but I'm not a podcast fan either.
So I'm lucky to have you here.
You are. I love being on podcasts and I do listen to podcasts, but my first medium comes through my fingers. I like to write. It just flows that way. When I first became a coach, one of the things that everybody said you needed to have was some sort of a proof of what you did. A book is a really good way of doing that. And I wrote my first book 10 years ago. I can't believe it. I just looked before I came on the podcast to see. Not very proud of that book now. It's very old-fashioned, if that's right. A lot of the stuff in now, I don't even believe now. But in 2015, I had the great experience of going to Zanzibar in Tanzania with my husband. I had a job down there. And quite often, the electricity went off. And when the electricity goes off, your Wi-Fi goes off, your fan for the heat goes off. And so the only thing you can do is sit very calmly. And so I decided to write three books, and I wrote what I call three coffee books, which are very small, simple books that you can read very quickly, and then you can do the actions that the books talk about.
And those are good these days because our attention spans are so much lower than they used to be, aren't they?
Definitely. There's nothing worse than picking up a type of self-help book, reading to the end, and realizing you've forgotten exactly what was in the book.
Yes, quite.
So these are meant with a cup of coffee and you've got plenty of time to go off and do the work.
What, if any, are your writing habits? Are you someone who has to be in a special location or write with a pen and paper or on the keyboard?
Keyboard is my preference. I do tend to have a book with notes and thoughts and ideas in it. And I love working on, at the moment, on Google Docs. I love the fact that I can cut and paste and chop and change, pick it up on any tablet or computer. And then I can also then share it with someone else for them to work on it at the same time. So habits, I write when I feel like it, really. I'm not one of those people who gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning and writes 100 words before breathing sort of thing, and then 1,000 words after coffee. I write as I feel the urge to, the need to, if that makes sense.
Are you somebody who would be able to write out in a cafe, for instance, or do you like the peace and quiet of home?
I think it would depend on what I'm writing and how far I've got in the process. So when you've done a lot of research, I like the peace and quiet for the research. But I think then once you've got to that point, I don't think it really matters where I am, because it's not me writing. It's my fingers doing the work. I don't really know how to explain it, but I can switch off and it just gets written. Then I've got this, and I'm going to use the word verbal vomit on a page, on a screen, that then needs cutting and pasting and chopping and changing. And that's when the work really, really begins, I think.
It's not too difficult to get a first draft down. It's all the work afterwards. And then deciding when you've actually finished.
Yeah. So I've just been writing a piece for Ishi magazine. I write for them every month. It's a magazine in New Delhi. And I think I'm on about draft five at the minute. And it takes time to polish it and finish it off. And then you have to walk away from it at some point. And that can be very difficult sometimes.
Interesting, you're writing for a magazine that's so far away. How did that come about?
I think it was 2015. I was very fortunate to be asked to be a speaker at a conference in New Delhi for Women's Economic Forum. It's not World Economic Forum, it's the Women's Economic Forum. And I was lucky to be speaking with a lady called Aitka Kapoor. And we got on really, really well. We became really good friends. And 3 years ago, she started her own magazine called Ishi in New Delhi. And I've been writing for her ever since. So I write a midlife column for the magazine. It's a women's magazine. And it's fascinating, the content. And it's really nice to be writing for a completely different culture.
Yes. And aside from writing for magazines and websites, you've written, I think, 11 books, 10 books? I had a
Something
look through.
Like that.
Six of them were written as quick fix guides, which I guess are like those coffee books. And you did that with a lady called Pat Duckworth. Pat in Mallorca?
No, Pat's in the UK. And again, we met. She came to a retreat of mine here in Mallorca. And we became really good friends. And both Pat and I actually went down to New Delhi together to talk at the conference. And had some great experiences traveling the 10 days after through the Lower Himalayas, which would make a perfect book if we ever wrote it.
There must be lots of books inside you. Your books are really very much based on your experiences, and we've been told as writers that you should write about what you know, and that's probably more appropriate in nonfiction and self-help books than anywhere else. To what extent do you think writing some of those books has been cathartic for you?
I think sometimes it's really good to put it down on paper and to know that, you know, for example, the How to Clean Organically book is based on my experiences working on boats and then cleaning for rich and famous, you know, for their second home properties here in Mallorca. And, you know, the system of cleaning we eventually created has become the basis of the book. Unfortunately, in those days, we cleaned with chemicals, which then affected me. So knowing that I can pass on to others a different way of cleaning is very cathartic. It makes it worthwhile making the effort to put the book out there.
In terms of working with Pat, you're obviously great pals, presumably you've got similar ideas about what should go into books. How does that process work? I can't imagine sharing a writing job with someone else.
So, you know, we chose topics that were both near and dear to our hearts. So boomerang kids and empty nest syndrome. And again, it was a little bit of a process at the beginning. which bit of the book do you want to take hold of and what do you want to write? What's your experience? So Pat has got one son and I've got two sons. So we were able to look at our different experiences and go, okay, I'm going to write on that specific part of the book and you can write on that. And that's what we did. And then we used Google Docs the same way, cut and pasted in our specific chapters, and lo and behold, you've written a book.
How long do those books, those shorter books, typically take you?
To read?
To write.
Depends on, to write.
And read.
So reading's not long. It depends on you. If you're a very, very fast reader, you'll skip through them in maybe 30 minutes. It could be longer. The book I have, for example, that I didn't write with Pat, but it's called The Art of Midlife Stress Busting, is really a seven-day reader. So you read the seven steps. So you'd read one step per day. In the case of Pat and I, it's the same thing, really. Some of them we wrote really, really quickly. For example, the book on sleep, Pat could cut and paste in so much of our other information that she'd already got. And I could do the same with decluttering, because those are things that we've talked about in detail in other areas. So not very long at all. The writing is, for me, is never the problem. The layout and the editing and the grammar and all that are the tough parts.
Well, the layout, of course, and to a certain extent, some of the editing would normally be done by somebody else in a traditional publishing route. But you don't do that. You publish on Kindle. Why did you decide to do it that way?
So the quick fix books are published on Kindle. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
We decided not to make them into books. We still debated about whether we will make them into books or not. My three books are both Kindle and print-on-demand versions. And I think in today's world, because you can literally put up the book yourself, it just made sense to take as much of the profit as you can and not have everybody else who takes a slice of the book. They're too small for people to take slices out of. I know Amazon takes a decent slice, but they do a lot of the marketing for you. So it made sense to put it there.
And also it happens more quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah. I did have help with the layout and I did have help with the editing of the books. And of course, then I had the most amazing lady, Marie Tilbert, who also lives on the island. Marie created my covers for my three books and I just love them. I think she did such a wonderful job.
Covers are really important, aren't they?
Very important, definitely. And she chose the colours and everything that really suit me.
Quite collaborative, really,
It is a collaboration, really. It's not an individual work at all.
Interesting you mentioned the downsizing and the decluttering books, because presumably there is an interlink there. But you had to do a massive downsizing, didn't you, when you went to Zanzibar?
I'd done a downsizing before. My father had died, so our family home in Yorkshire needed to be decluttered and so that my brother could sell it. And I came back from that and I felt that there was no point having to let my sons do that, if that makes sense. So we had a big farmhouse. We had a finca in Inca, we used to say. Between the barn and the house itself, we had five bathrooms and six bedrooms and the pool and 4 acres of land. It was a big, big property. And both our boys had grown up and decided that Mallorca was not their home anymore. And so there was a realization around the time, 2015, just before James got offered this job in Zanzibar, that it would be really good to think about now being the time to sell and downsize.
It's
and
a big
so that's
step.
What we did.
It's tough. Did you not feel, especially with things like the children's, I know they're grown up now, your sons, but the things that they'd made at school and brought home from school, that must have been very tough.
It was a mix. I think it was tough because literally in the Easter break, Tom was home studying for his finals of his international baccalaureate. James got offered the job and within 2 minutes he was suitcase packed and in Zanzibar. Tom was back at school, Max was away working. And, you know, I was left with the responsibility of getting rid of literally 20 years worth of stuff before we could stage the house and put it on the market for sale. There was an understanding that we'd get rid of stuff that we didn't need. We've kept some stuff, but we didn't keep a lot. And I do still have two boxes, one labelled Max and one labelled Tom, that's got some of their school stuff in, so I haven't got rid of it all.
That obviously was a really good opportunity for you to write about those particular subjects. Yes. Of all the books you've written, what do you think you're most proud of?
I think it's debatable. I think the one that I really get more feedback about is the midlife stress busting one. It's thought provoking. So women at midlife who read it, you know, come back to me and say, I'm really working on step number 5 or step number 7 really's got to me or whatever. And I like that. I think that's a really important thing that, you know, that you've written something that is changing lives.
Yeah. And you get feedback from it.
Yeah.
You have a newsletter that goes out to people and you have clients as well at Usual Services. They presumably are avid followers of your books and I hope buy them.
It's interesting, isn't it? Books are something, especially at this size. I just sent one to Italy, actually, on how to clean your home organically. A lot of people don't know they're there. And when they do, they go, oh, yes, please, I'd love a copy of that. That would be really, really good. So it's a mix. It's difficult to describe, isn't it, in today's world. There's so many books out there. It's how you get the message out and how people find what you've got to offer.
The marketing side of thing is quite challenging, but you do have a sort of inbuilt audience, haven't you?
That's the concept. I have a quite lively Facebook group with 700 followers in there. So, you know, they pick up stuff and I do send out an occasional newsletter. I'm not very good at sending them out regularly.
You also run retreats here on the island, the Midlife Mojo Mallorca Retreats. That must have introduced you to some very interesting people.
Yeah, and since we've hit COVID, not so many, unfortunately, because people can't come. But yeah, I've had some really interesting clients at the minute because we're now in Colonia de San Pere. We offer a small invitation to one or two people to come and stay, you know, stay in our spare bedroom. And then we can use the mountains and the beach as a way for them to find that space to reconnect to themselves.
I think it's a really inspiring place. It's one of my favourite places in Mallorca. Wonderful for walking. It's got a lovely feel of locals rather than just tourists, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's a very special place. It's got really special energy here.
Are you planning to do any more books for the moment, self-help?
Self-help, no. I'm going to carry on writing my two columns. I write two columns, one issue that I told you about, and then I write for a online magazine for women over 50 called Cool Life, K-U-E-L, Cool Life. That's in the States. But I'm tempted this year, and I need to talk to you, Jan, after this conversation. Ooh. I'm tempted to actually write a storybook for a change.
Oh, interesting. Yes, we shall see indeed. Well, it does seem to me you've had a really interesting life. You've travelled around, sailed over to Mallorca. You've been to Zanzibar and lived in a shack, basically, on a beach, which must have been amazing. Well, as you sat there on that wonderful beach in Zanzibar, did you feel you wanted to write more? Did you get inspiration there?
I haven't had any inspiration directly when I was there. I think it was an interesting time, and I did make some notes. We shall see where it goes. At the minute, it wouldn't be a Zanzibar book.
You've travelled quite a bit, as apart from going to Zanzibar. And about 3 years ago, I think now, you walked the Camino de Santiago on your own. That's a brave move.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, that's really what you're supposed to do. That's how you're supposed to take the Camino on your own. It's supposed to be a pilgrimage. And really funny and very interestingly, the reason why I did it was because I was still a resident in Spain, even though my husband wasn't. And my house was rented. So what did I do? So I thought, oh, well, I'd go walk the Camino for 34 days. And when we used to stop on a night in the hostel, one of the first things you do is you have a conversation with your new inmates of the hostel as such. And they would always say, you know, so what brought you to walk the Camino? And it became the joke. I used to say, well, for tax purposes. They'd go, what? It always stopped the conversation and always made people laugh. And that was what it was about, really. I didn't go walking for any other reason other than that I was very fortunate that I could.
You're talking now, maybe you could write some short stories. Is there a novel in you, or maybe a memoir? I would think your memoir would be an interesting read.
I definitely keep saying I'm going to write about the story of travelling from Hull Marina to Mallorca. which was a 3-week adventure. And for a young girl, as I was at the time, definitely experienced all sorts of things, from being rescued by Lowestoft lifeboat and getting accommodation for that, to being stopped by the Guardia Civil boat off Gibraltar for possibly drug smuggling, and it goes on and on and on. So yes, it would make a really good book, I'm sure.
There is a book, but there's probably even a movie.
So speak to Netflix now.
Yes. Well, we hope you might feel inspired to do write another book very soon. Let's talk a little bit about Mallorca in general, because you've spent a lot of time here. Where are your favourite places to visit if anybody's coming one day?
We used to say that to our guests when they came to the house. We'd say, you know, knock on the door if you want somewhere special to go. If you tell us what you like eating, or tell us what you fancy doing, and we'll tell you where you can go. And when they used to come to the door, we used to say, but don't tell anybody else what I'm about to tell you. This is a secret. And I feel that about Mallorca sometimes. Sometimes you just got to keep the best spots to yourself. Too many people about it. Otherwise, it's no longer a special place.
This is true. Well, one of my favourite places is Colonia San Pere, where you're living. So you're fortunate to be living there in a really beautiful place where you can do a lot of walking and exercise. You've reached your midlife. Do you think you've changed for the positive? I mean, some people look on midlife as a time really to sort of give up.
Such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, you hate to see that, I can imagine.
I do, because, you know, if you think back past 2 or 3 generations, yeah, I understand that. You know, our great-grandmothers didn't have the opportunities that we've got. You know, when you got to the age of 50, 60, 65, it was the end of your life, literally. Now we've got another 50 years. We've got so much wisdom to share with the world. You know, one of my favourite quotes is the Dalai Lama says that the Western women will change the world. And I add to it, the biggest demographic of the Western world is a woman over 50.
It's encouraging news for those of us who've passed that point in life. And good to know that there's still opportunities to do new things. What are the sorts of things that people have come and stay in your retreat, if you can remember that, pre-COVID? What are the sort of things that they were wanting to do but had felt held back by their age or people who surrounded them?
Again, it's a mix. Every person is unique and individual, but a couple of examples are literally needing space to just stop and relax and take a breath. To other people, just wanting to connect to nature, to see things differently, to be able to then go home and have a different vision of what's happening at home. I think these are the, you know, some of the main things. And Colonia, the beach here, just picking up flotsam and jetsam on the beach can be so meaningful. And that's what we did. You know, we created a little treasures to take home for them to remind them of their stay here, from literally rubbish off the beach.
And hopefully they will remember that for a long time. Exactly. We're into January, almost halfway through it. Some people make resolutions. Are you one of those people?
I used to be.
Not anymore.
I don't anymore. It's interesting, isn't it? I think making resolutions in January is not the best time, especially if you make them on the 1st of January. Today is the new moon. So today is quite a good day to sit and think about what you would like to keep and what you would like to let go of. And that can then lead you to some sort of choice and resolution. Resolutions really is just means re-solution. So it means rehashing something you've already done. Quite often when we do that, it doesn't work anyway. So perhaps resolution's not the right word.
And 1st of January, definitely not.
Definitely not.
At this time of year, even people who aren't making resolutions are usually thinking about how things could be better for them in the year, or whether they want to learn something new. And of course, this is a very good time for the self-help book sector, of which you have made a contribution. We'll talk about where people can get hold of them in a few moments. What are the self-help books that you like to read? Is there one in particular that you use like a Bible?
I've read hundreds and hundreds over the last 15, 20 years that I've been coaching. Books that stick out: Byron Katie, Loving What Is. I think that's a really good book. Cybernetics, and I can't remember the name of the author of that off the top of my head. I'd have to go and dig it out. It's a really good book. And then I think it depends on you. You really have to start and look about what resonates with you. I'm finding myself going down more of a spiritual path. I think it comes with our age. And so therefore the books become different in their tone and their meaning. The book I've got literally my computer resting on while I'm talking to you is called The Gene Keys, which is written by Richard Rudd. And basically it's a guide, a lifelong guide to help you work out your process of why you're here on the planet in the moment in time.
Goodness, that does sound quite meaningful and
quite deep.
Yes. Well, if anybody's not read any of your books, where would you suggest people start?
I think if you want to come and find me, really, and have a look, my three books you can find are on my website. They're at knewton.com. That's quite easy. And then the other thing is to reach out on Facebook and start and have a chat. And then perhaps I can put you in a direction where you would like to go.
And there are lots of like-minded women as well who you can get to know and talk to at the same time on that Facebook group, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly. I've got an absolute mix of people who offer everything from menopause to gadgets to whatever you may need at midlife. So yeah, can always direct a person in somewhere.
And there are your books on Amazon as well.
Yep, Amazon, you can find them there as well. Just type in Kay Newton and it should come up.
Which is what I did this morning. And there's a whole list of them. You have been very prolific, Kay Newton. I hope we'll see some more books from you. A lot of these books are aimed at women, and women do go through that part of their life where everything changes, the menopause and everything relating to that. What about men? Have you ever thought about writing any books for men?
I did at one point have a book out there, which was for men, but it was for men to help women through menopause. And it had such a bad understanding from the US people, I took it down. Who didn't like what I'd said about, you know, making space for menopause, really, for everything that a woman goes through. They didn't like that. So, yeah, maybe that needs rehashing. That's a good point.
Yes, maybe. Oh, well, maybe there's one for 2021. Your website, for people who want to come and find you on the website?
Easy peasy, kaynewton.com.
kaynewton.com. Newton like Isaac, of course.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you very much for talking to us on Authors in Mallorca. I wish you lots of success for this year. I hope the retreats will be possible at some time during the year. How are you coping with COVID?
I feel very fortunate. I'm finding it a really good space to take hold of the spirituality side of things, to spend a lot more time being a human being rather than a human doing. And just have, you know, spending time in nature. We're just so lucky. We've got the mountains and the sea right next to us.
Nature's been the salvation for many people, hasn't it, during this
really,
situation?
Really has.
Are you expecting to see a flood of books about coping with COVID and isolation?
It's really funny because I took my How to Clean Your Home Organically and added another chapter to it in relation to organic cleaning for COVID. And Amazon said no, because I wasn't a specialist. So I actually take it down.
That's tricky, isn't it?
So very interesting. It's a very delicate subject. And whether you can write about COVID and get it published on Amazon may be contentious.
That's interesting. And yet you can write about all these other subjects and people don't query them at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Except men talking about menopause. Well, thank you very much for your contribution. It's been good talking to you, Kay. You're looking very well. I can see you, of course, because we're on Zoom. We're now in a further restriction in Mallorca. I would love to have come and spoken to you in Colonia San Pere, but hopefully we'll be able to do that later on in the year. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me, Jan. It's been really, as always, a pleasure.
This episode of Authors in Mallorca featured Kay Newton, midlife strategist and author of several self-help books, both in ebook and conventional book format. Books include Tips and Tricks for Stress-Free Downsizing, How to Clean Your Home Organically, and The Art of Midlife Stress Busting. Her books, and those she co-wrote with Pat Duckworth, are available on Amazon. Find out more by visiting her website, knewton.com, and check out her Facebook page too. Authors in Mallorca is produced and presented by me, Jan Edwards. The theme tune was composed by Jack Waldenmeyer and published by Music Bakery Publishing.